Is trust important? I'm going to tell you a story. I was at work. This guy I work with, we were standing by the desk, and a car dealership owner from Bentonville comes up, and he buys his hunting and fishing license from us. And the guy I work with said he was interested in getting another truck. Told him price range. And he goes, oh, yeah, we got plenty of those. We'll set you up good. And they talked for a little while longer. After he left, he was telling me what a great guy that he was. I mean, he said everything just fantastic about him. I was thinking, he owns a car dealership, you know? Are you sure? And he just kept bragging him up. And then, at the very end, he just blew it all away. He said, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. Well, I was thinking maybe you couldn't be all the other great things he was saying if you didn't have that trust. But that made more sense after he said that. And he didn't buy a truck from him either. He bought it from somebody else. Well, we'll be turning to Esther to talk about the story of Mordecai and Esther and about trust. Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, raised her and cautioned her, not to mention she was of Jewish descent. Esther became queen and was very loved by the king. So if you'll turn to Esther 2 and 21 through 23. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to Mordecai. He told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. And when an inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged at the gallows, and it was written in the book of Chronicles in the presence of the king. Now, he didn't just take their word, so he checked it out first. He just didn't assume Mordecai was saying the right thing, and he checked it out and found out Mordecai was being trustworthy. So the story really does begin with honesty and loyalty that earned him and the queen trust with the king. Don't need to turn to, but in Esther 3:1, after these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Aham, the son of Amadetha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes who were with him, and all the king's servants, and were within the king's gates, bowed and paid homage to Aham. And so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. So why do you suppose it said Amadetha was an Agagite? The most likely reason is that they came from Agag and were the Amalekites, historic enemies of the Jews. The Amalekites were people mentioned a number of times in the book of Genesis and considered to be Amalek's descendants. The name is often interpreted as dweller in the valley and occasionally as warlike, people of prey, or cavemen. The Amalekites were nomads who attacked the Hebrews in the desert in Sinai during their exodus from Egypt, smiting the hindmost, all that were feeble behind. Later, Saul and his army destroyed most of the people, burned Samuel in God's wrath for leaving some of the people and livestock against God's command. They had continued down to modern times to most likely residents of Iran and still enemies of the Hebrew people. But now you've just been promoted to second command. and this lowly Hebrew, that the gay won't bow to you. So you're thinking, you know, here I am, this great person. Why won't you bow to me? So it filled Haman with wrath, and not just toward Mordecai, but he is determined to wipe out all the Jews. If you'll turn to 3:8 in Esther. Guess I was right there. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, There's a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all the other peoples, and they do not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it is not fitting for the king to let them remain. All right, it already starts off with a little bit of a lie there. True, it's like us. We keep God's laws, so we're a little different than the other people out here, but we still obey the law of the land. And so he's already indicated he didn't want to just wipe out Mordecai, but he wanted to get everybody. So in verses 9 through 11, if it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work, to bring it into the king's treasures. So the king took a signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. So the king trusted Haman, but he was not aware that he and his father had hatred towards the Jews. And Mordecai is distraught when he hears this, and he tells Queen Esther the plans of Haman, and he says, you won't even be spared. And so he convinces her to seek an audience with the king. And this was not the protocol of the day, because the queen had to wait to be summoned, or it could be her life. You don't need to turn there, but Esther 4, 15 through 17. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Rather, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I'll go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. I mean, it's tough enough to do 1 day. She's saying do 3. So that'd be a little bit tougher. And then verse 17. So Mordecai went on his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Now if you'll turn to 5, Esther 5, verses 4 through 14. So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? Up to half the kingdom? It shall be yours, or it shall be done. And Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If you have found favor in the sight of the king, if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said. So Haman went out that day joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand and tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. Then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting in the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. And this thing pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. So it was more than just him. He had friends and family who was conspiring to get rid of all the Jews. And now if you go to chapter 7 and verse 1. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king asked again said to Esther, what is your petition? Queen Esther, it shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom? It shall be done. And Queen Esther answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as mate and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy would never compensate for the king's loss. So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. And then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that the evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I am in the house? As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now, Harbonah, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good of the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. So he really deceived the king to commit genocide against the Jews, but the tables were turned on him. Proverbs 28:25. He who is of proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. In verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. The trust that Mordecai and Esther had already established with God and the king delivered them and their people when they would have perished. The deception of Haman brought to him a bitter end.